Welcome to our service for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. It's the first online service since the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II and the first since the appointment of our new Prime Minister, which is one of the Queen's latest acts. As it happens, the New Testament reading set for today is perhaps the most appropriate that could have been chosen. In it, the Apostle Paul encourages his congregations to give thanks and to pray for all people, but especially for kings and those in high positions. Our hymns today have been chosen particularly with the theme of Britain in mind. We begin with a very English hymn written by Timothy Dudley Smith, who was Bishop of Thetford in the Diocese of Norwich. Its theme of thanksgiving for long years past is especially appropriate as a thanksgiving for the life of the late Queen, whose faith and sense of service were her guide throughout her life and reign. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided, Lord of the years, we bring our thanks today. For our time of penitence, we continue with the simple Kyries we've used throughout this Trinity season. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now today's collect, the collect for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our first Bible reading is from the book of the prophet Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Timothy chapter 2. A reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. My dearly beloved, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. And I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is in some sense both Irish and Scottish. Its very Celtic folk tune is probably Irish in origin, while its words, a paraphrase of Psalm 84, are quite closely adapted from a version which first appeared in the Scottish Psalter of 1850. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from today's New Testament reading seem completely appropriate for this time, as we look forward to the funeral of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II tomorrow. My dearly beloved, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high position, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. Those last two words would not be a bad summary of the life of Queen Elizabeth II, a godly and dignified one who lived out the vocation to which she'd been born in a spirit of faithfulness and service. Our monarchs, of course, have very little power. They may have what is sometimes called soft power, the ability to wield influence through personal contact and relationships. Perhaps my favourite among the thousands of tributes that have flooded in for the late Queen comes from Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland and now chair of a group called the Elders, which was founded by Nelson Mandela to bring together the wisdom of those leaders who had led nations towards peace. Robinson had direct personal experience of the Queen's use of that soft power in the reconciliation between Britain and Ireland. She writes, "Through her personal and heartfelt commitment to the Commonwealth, she helped promote the ideals of friendship and cooperation among nations that the Elders have always embraced. I know her meetings with our founder, Nelson Mandela, meant a lot to him. Her Majesty did so much personally to build peace and reconciliation between Ireland and the United Kingdom. She invited me to meet her in May 1993, the first ever meeting between an Irish president and a British monarch. Her state visit to Ireland in 2011 was a joyful occasion that helped advance the relationship between our nations. She personified empathy, understanding and forgiveness. Her dedication to public service and her commitment to a shared humanity will remain an exemplar of moral decency. She will remain an inspiration to all those who seek to build bridges in the pursuit of progress, peace and human dignity." We can all be pleased also, I'm sure, about the manner of the Queen's passing. Details have not been released of her last illness, but it's clear that her doctors knew at once that it was the end, with just enough time for most of her family to gather. And so she passed away, having lived a full and active life until the age of 96, and with faculties so much intact that she could inaugurate her 15th Prime Minister just 2 days earlier. Her family were at least able to say their farewells, whether she was able to hear them or not, and she died in what we know was one of her very favourite places. We give thanks for a life long and fully lived in a spirit of service which never wavered, and as members of the church of which she was supreme governor, we give thanks especially for her example of godly faith. We should note, before we move on, that in our passage from 1 Timothy, the Apostle does enjoin us to pray for all people, not just kings and all who are in high positions. There's an implication, though, that we pray for those in authority for the sake of those they govern, that they may live their lives in peace, and especially in Paul's case, that the apostolic ministry of evangelism may be carried on without persecution in the many countries to which the apostles were called. We now, though, have two new people to pray for in this way, our new king, King Charles III, and our new prime minister, Liz Truss. Perhaps the most immediate contrast between them is their position in regard to the person they are succeeding. Every vicar will tell you that what you don't want to do is be the successor to a vicar who was really popular and who did a really good job. You inevitably feel that nothing you can ever do will live up to the memory of the late beloved Reverend whatever his name was, whose loss everyone in the parish is in some way still grieving. It's much easier if you can succeed someone with a more checkered record in office. Mary Robinson, we remind ourselves, said of the Queen that her dedication to public service and her commitment to a shared humanity will remain an exemplar of moral decency. The major challenges that face our new government are a subject for another day, but I think we can say at least that Liz Truss will not have a problem living up to the example of moral decency set by her predecessor. It's much more difficult in this respect for King Charles, I would suggest. He has to succeed a person who has fulfilled her role with exemplary dignity to the admiration of just about everyone. He has, I suppose, always known that it was coming. My own prayers for him will first and foremost be that he is surrounded by wisdom in his counsellors and by the love of his family. I think it's a lot to hope that a reconciliation with Prince Harry will be part of that, but we've all been gladdened by at least the public face of that reconciliation in the family's grieving. I must say that I personally would like to see a fuller reconciliation also between the people and the new Queen. I'm sorry that she is to be reminded of the past every time we use the term Queen Consort instead of just Queen to describe her. In terms of the soft power we mentioned, I think the new king has a couple of things at least in his favour. He was ahead of most of us in his concern for environment and climate, and that may prove to be the defining worldwide issue of the decades in which he will be king. And properly expressed, that concern may give him a real bond with many of his younger subjects, and with those people in Commonwealth countries like Pakistan, for example, for whom the changes in climate pose a truly dangerous existential threat. Similarly, King Charles has also spent a serious amount of time trying to understand and develop relationships with people of different religions. This may stand him and us in good stead internationally. A king who is known to be a friend to Muslims and a respecter of Islam in particular might be an important bridge builder in the years ahead. So despite the difficulties which might confront him in succeeding so popular a new monarch, there is reason to hope that the new king may be able to build wisely and well on the legacy which is bequeathed to him. This day, as Christians, we renew our commitment to pray for him, that his new great privilege may be a joy and not a burden to him, that he may find fulfilment in the role for which he has been so long preparing, so that we together, with all the citizens of the Commonwealth, may say with heart and voice, God save the King. Amen. Our next hymn brings us home to Wales, and indeed home here to Ceredigion, the foundation song of the Welsh Revival. Dyma gariad fel y moroedd, tosturiaethau fel y llu, forever associated with Florrie Evans and Capel Tabernacle in Newquay.
Thank you.
it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In tad yr hynoed yn y nefoedd, sancteiddiad y enw, deled y dernas, gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw ein barab einyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddau'n ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar awen ni ymrofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, a ni ddeddo ti o'r dernas a'r nerth a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. And so to our intercessions. Lord, open our lives to your goodness. Open our ears to your call. Open our eyes to your presence. Open our hearts to your love, and open our lips to your praises. Open us all to your glory. Amen. On the day before the funeral of Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, we pray for the new King, Charles, and all the royal family. We pray for all those who most closely mourn the Queen, those dearest to her and to whom she was most dear. We pray too for all who will be involved in the service of thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our Bishop, Joanna, who is unwell and has had to leave off work for a time. We miss her as a bishop and as a person, and we commend her to the Lord for healing and restoration to health, in body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our Archdeacon Aileen and all those who shoulder more of the burden created by the bishop's absence. We pray for all bishops, priests, and ministers, that in the midst of busyness and difficulty, they may not lose the joy of their vocation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Look down, Lord, on your church in all its messy humanity. We thank you for the moments of transcendence which inspire us to continue along our pilgrim journey together as the body of Christ. And we ask your forgiveness for the moments when we seem lost in a maze of disagreement and disunity. Open our lips to praise you and our lives to your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of love, show us our place in this world as channels of your love for all the creatures of this earth, for not one of them is forgotten in your sight. Enlighten those who have power and money, that they and we may love the common good and care for this world in which we live. Lord, seize us with your power and light. Help us to make the way for a better future, for the coming of your kingdom, of justice and peace, love and beauty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, open our hearts to those we live amongst, so that we may be loving and giving, building our local communities together. Make us a gift to others in your name. We thank you for the modern miracle that is happening, as people whose lives have been destroyed by war seek shelter among us. The people of Europe in their hundreds and thousands, Christians and Muslims, Hindus, Jews and others, are feeding and clothing those who have nothing left but their humanity from the Ukraine and many other countries. May their efforts be perpetually replenished, like the widow's crumbs or the loaves and fishes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember the sick. We know that your greatest gift to those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit is your presence and the knowledge of it. Help those in pain to feel your closeness and to draw strength and comfort from it. Help them to undergo what must be undergone, and give them the gift of hope for the morrow, knowing that underneath are your everlasting arms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember our late sovereign and all those who have departed this life, those dear to us and those like Her Majesty whose example gives us strength to live better lives ourselves. We pray for all who mourn her passing and all amongst us who mourn their loved ones. May she and they rest in peace and rise in glory. And may we in due time join them in the feast of eternal life in your presence. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again, into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.